imitators of God. And that word is actually the word mimic. Mimic God. You remember when you were little and you used to mimic somebody? They'd be talking and you'd say the same thing, and after a couple of minutes they'd get real irritated and say, "Stop saying that! Stop saying that!" You know, and then they'd mimic you again. But that's what the word means. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So here's my question. When it says be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, my question is, what is the greatest example of God's love for us, toward us? Giving his son, and what did that make possible? To forgive us for our sins. So when it says, be imitators of God as Christ loved us, the greatest act of love that God did for us was to forgive us. And so when he says, mimic me, he asks us and challenges us to do one of the hardest things in life. And what is that? To forgive others. In this very list, both before and after this list, there are these words. It says, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So here's the question. What makes us bitter? Unforgiveness. If we've got an issue between us and we don't work it out, I've experienced bitterness towards somebody. You know, you might experience bitterness. You might have somebody that's offended you or wronged you, and it's never been taken care of. Now, the truth is, you really can't forgive like this unless you have surrendered your life to Christ. You've experienced the forgiveness of Christ. Now you can extend that forgiveness to somebody else. So, here's another question. That is, if you don't forgive that person, by the way, whether they're deserving or not, what does bitterness do to you? It does. It makes us miserable, absolutely miserable. And all of these things, this list of things in chapter 4, verse 31, bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, clamor, evil speaking, have them be put away from you with all malice. And malice has the idea of evil intent towards somebody else. And so with kind of that as a picture, I'm just going to go back and say a few things. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, before him in love. And you got that same concept there in the very beginning. God says, I chose you. You know what? Before anybody knew your name, before you existed on the earth, before the earth existed, I knew you. And he says in these words, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that, and that is so that. So that it would follow in our lives, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can you see how forgiveness works in there? Without blame before him in love. In chapter 2, it's like this. And since you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And by the way, that is the description that God says of everybody. Before we know the Savior, before we commit our lives to Christ, we're dead. We're spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. You know how he did that? He forgave forgave us. He forgave us. And then in verse 7, that he might show his exceeding riches of his grace. Then in chapter 3, talking about the therefore, verse 14, it says, we bow our knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So, do you remember when we were doing communion? Bye. You remember when we were doing communion and there was the lady who came into Jesus' presence and she brought that costly ointment, that costly perfume, and she anointed Jesus. She had experienced God's love and forgiveness for her. And so what she did was she made this costly sacrifice. There are two places in the scripture where Jesus is anointed, and one of them it says this woman brought something that was so costly, it was like months of wages that she brought to Jesus. It says that she anointed him, and there's this idea of bowing down to the Lord. What I'd just like to ask you is, do you sense that because you're forgiven, that God is worthy of worship and that it would cause you to bow down before him and worship him? Someday, when I die, and by the grace of God have the privilege to be in his presence in heaven, there will be, that song I Can Only Imagine says, will I bow before him? Will I stand in praise? You know, we're going to bow before the Lord and we're going to give thanks for what Jesus did for us on the cross. See that in chapter 3. In chapter 4, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So there is this constant example. And I'm not going to take time. Today's not a time for stories and examples and so on. But like Mark said, bitterness will kill you. Anger will stir you up. Clamor, repeating things in your head over and over and over about people who have wronged you and people who have caused harm to you or your family. And then malice, which is this idea of getting back, evilly getting back on someone who has done something. And what God says is, stop. Forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. In chapter 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given us an offering. You know, it's interesting that this is a harsh thing, but when Jesus died on the cross and completed his work of for us to be forgiven, it said that Jesus, what he did was an offering, a sweet-smelling aroma in the nose of God, so to speak. Our lives give off a scent. And if we are believers in Christ who have experienced the love of God, the result of the love of God should be that we then be imitators of God and forgive others. So the question kind of comes, what kind of a scent rises up from our lives? Is it a scent that brings joy, so to speak, as God smells our life and catches a scent of who we are and how we practice our faith in Christ? So when these verses simply say this, therefore, because of all these great things that God has done for us to redeem us, bring us into his family, forgive us for our sin, be imitators of God as dear children. Now that's where it connects with this baby dedication, as dear children. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed with my boys and with Juliana a lot was just spending time with them. And every once in a while, they do something like you do it. You know, we were building our house. we had tool belts. So we had a hammer and nails and all this stuff. And when my boys were little, we bought them each. Juliana wasn't born yet. We bought them each this little tool belt. And they all had their own hammer and their own nails. And it was fun. And they remembered it as a good time. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk. And when it says walk, it's the idea of living out. Walk in, let me find it, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. So, I'm not sure I have got this concept down completely, but I'd like to at least begin to talk about it. And that is, you know, when we hold bitterness or anger at somebody, we clamor in our spirit about something that happened that's not resolved, and we think the thoughts, I'm going to make that person who wronged me suffer. You ever felt that? I'm going to make them suffer. They made me suffer. I'm going to make them suffer. And I was reading a commentator, and they said, you know what? Christ has already suffered for their sin. And I love that. It was like, okay, so somebody wronged me and it hurts and they've done something wrong. Christ has even already suffered for their sin. It is not ours to make them suffer. It is ours to be imitators of God as dear children and to walk in love as Christ has loved us and forgiven us. Hard stuff. He promises that he will give us the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to help us carry out these things that he is asking of us. So let me just, this is not a raising of hands time, but you know, if you've got something in here that's unsettled, if you've got bitterness, anger and your soul clamors inside and you're thinking malicious thoughts, let me just offer to you that God has already and can already handle that. Jesus has suffered for that sin. The thing that we can do that's most Christ-like is to simply forgive them. Not because they're worthy, not because they deserve it, but because of what Christ has done for me, for us. That's what he's asking us to do. One commentator I said, you know, said, you know, if we can't do that, and this is harsh, so if we can't do that, maybe we're not saved. Maybe we've not experienced the forgiving, cleansing of God of our own sin. Now, I'm not making any judgment on me or you, but I think we need to carefully look and say, God, am I taking this seriously? Am I willing to forgive that person or those people who have wronged me? You see, it's not God who is the focus of our forgiveness. God doesn't say this, and you say, well, that's part of my relationship with God. Well, God doesn't need any forgiveness. And I know this is pretty obvious, but he's asking us to forgive on this level. This is the level that God is concerned about. And as we forgive each other, it is a reflection of God through us to the world that he has done a cleansing work in our lives. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we are grateful for this incredible love that we've been reading about. And Lord, it is true that with our own kids, if we're able to deal with hurts and pains and bitternesses in our life, it's really going to model for our kids how they should deal with anger and bitterness and wrongs and pain in their life. Father, as we heard, bitterness can kill people. I mean, it just tears us up. We can't hardly live. Sometimes we can't hardly breathe. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to be able, by the grace of God, from what we've received, to forgive our brothers and sisters, to forgive our parents, to forgive our siblings, to forgive the people at work. Maybe there's times where they need to forgive us because we've done something wrong toward them. God, I thank you that the Bible says we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. It says, behold, all things, the old things, have passed away, like bitterness and anger and clamor and malice. And behold, all things have become new. We're living in the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. So, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word that kind of does heart surgery on us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, whatever you can use from this, I pray that you would just let it settle down this week in our hearts. And we even pray, Lord, for your help to forgive those who have trespassed against us. We love you. We thank you for the time in communion, the baby dedication. We look forward to eating lunch together. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us as a church family. Bless, Lord, the Fletchers and the Stams specifically today. Thank you that their families could be here. We commit our lives to following you. Help us, God, to mimic you in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I should probably pray for the food, too. Actually, Doug Collier, would you pray for our meal together? And then we'll go and do that.
Let's pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you trust
us. Mm-hmm.